I'm grateful that there are many people here this morning that are involved in ministry from here to everywhere. Whether you're volunteering or you are starting a ministry, serving in a ministry, here or everywhere. I got a devotional this morning that encouraged me not to get discouraged. Sometimes when we're serving God here and everywhere, we wonder if we're really making an impact. God is faithful in taking what we do for Him, for His glory and His purpose. So don't get discouraged. Continue to serve Him here and everywhere. And if you've not yet got involved in serving God here and everywhere, it is our prayer that that'll happen for you here even today. I'm thankful on this Thanksgiving weekend that we have a God who loves us and a God who sees our pain, a God who loves this world and gave his Son to be the Savior of the world. One of my favorite translations of the beatitude that Jesus gives us about blessed are those who mourn, who they shall be comforted, is let my heart be broken by the things that break the heart of God. We serve a God whose heart is broken by the things that are broken in this world. And He calls us to go from here to everywhere to meet that need. So this God that we love sees our pain from here to everywhere. One of my favorite verses of scripture that really begins to identify this in the Old Testament is from Exodus chapter 3, where Moses was shepherding the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the west end of the wilderness and came to the mountain of God, Horeb. The mountain of God, Horeb. I get asked that question a lot. Well, what does Mount Horeb mean? What do you get Mount Horeb at? I said, it's in the Bible. I said, where at in the Bible? Exodus chapter 3. The mountain of God, Horeb. And the angel of God appeared to him in flames of fire blazing out of the middle of a bush. He looked, the bush was blazing away, but it didn't burn up. And God said, I've taken a good long look at the afflictions of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries for deliverance from their slave masters. I know all about their pain. You see, we serve a God who knows all about our pain. And now I have come down to help them, pry them loose from the grip of Egypt, get them out of that country, and bring them to a good land with wide open spaces. You see, Mount Horeb is a place where God sees pain. It's where God speaks to Moses in the burning bush and tells him to go and set my people free. I believe that God is still speaking at a place called Mount Horeb, and there's a bush that's still burning because God sees the pain of people, and He calls us to go and reach them. As we move from the Old Testament, we move into the New Testament, and we're reminded that what John wrote is, for God so loved the world that He saw their pain, and He sent His Son into the world, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. You see, Jesus comes into the world because of our pain and comes to be our Savior. I love what 1 John says, from His abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the source of our hope. He is the source of our salvation, and He knows our pain. In our text for this morning from Matthew 9, 35 through 38, tells us that Jesus is moved with compassion because of the pain that He sees. In Matthew 9, we find these words from the Message version. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies and healed their bruised and hurt lives. Jesus came to heal bruised and hurt lives. And I know that in this room here today with this many people, that there are people here in this room that perhaps you have a bruised life today. Perhaps you have been hurt by a broken relationship or something that you've done to hurt someone else. I want you to know that God loves you and that God knows your pain and God is with you in the midst of your pain. When He looked out over the crowds, His heart broke. Let my heart be broken by the things that break the heart of God. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hand. On your knees and pray for more workers. More workers because Jesus was moved by compassion. And we're doing this sermon series because God's heart is still broken. And we are to pray for more workers. You know, we've had a great time going through this great devotional book, From Here to Everywhere. 30 days looking at ministries that are making an impact here and everywhere. And the only limiting factor to these ministries reaching more people is more workers. God has provided an incredible amount of resources, but we need to pray for more workers that will come alongside hurting people. When Jesus looked over the crowd, his heart was broken. And this text from Matthew comes from comes from Ezekiel chapter 34, and I want to read it to you again from the Message. God's message came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherd leaders of Israel, the leaders of God's people. Yes, prophesy to those shepherds. God the Master says, doomed to you shepherds of Israel, feeding your own mouths. Aren't shepherds supposed to feed sheep? You drink the milk. You make clothes from the wool. You roast the lambs. You don't feed the sheep. You don't build up the weak ones. You don't heal the sick. You don't doctor the injured. Don't go after the strays. Don't look for the lost. See, we never want to be a church that is indicted with this indictment, that you don't look for the lost. You don't go after the strays. You don't doctor the injured. You don't heal the sick. You don't build up the weak ones. And now they're scattered every which way because there was no shepherd. Scattered in easy pickings for wolves and coyotes. Scattered my sheep, exposed and vulnerable across mountains and hills. My sheep scattered all over the world, from here to everywhere, and no one out looking for them. See, the church has been given this calling to go out and look for those sheep that are scattered, that are hurting, who are weary because no one cared, no one led them, and no one fed them. Philip Keller wrote a great book on the 23rd Psalm, and he talks about one of the greatest dangers for sheep, and that is for them to become cast, C-A-S-T, or cast down. It's an old English term for when sheep get on their back with their four legs up and they can't get up because they're cast down. And unless a shepherd finds them, they will die. And this is what Jesus is saying. You got to go look for the sheep that are cast down because their eternity is in jeopardy. So Jesus sees our pain. He's moved by our pain. But also I want you to hear this. If you're here today and you're hurting, if you're bruised, you feel scattered, these verses are for you. Isaiah 53:4, a prophecy of the Messiah, of Jesus. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. Jesus, the Savior, knows your pain. He takes on your pain. And then 1 Peter 2 says it this way. He, meaning Jesus, personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. I looked up the definition of compassion to try to understand how Jesus was moved with compassion. I love this definition. A sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with the desire to alleviate it. See, it's not just feeling sorry for people. A lot of us do that. We feel sorry for people. Our hearts are broken for people. But real compassion means we do something about it. And that's exactly what Jesus did in his ministry, in his mission. He did something about the pain. And ultimately, he went to the cross, and his body was broken, and his blood was shed because of the pain of the world. Now, the word compassion is not found originally in the Greek. And so the gospel writers had to create this word for compassion, and it means the deepest emotion. It reveals the mercy of God, and it always involves action. You see, Jesus showed us how to have compassion, and then he gave us a great commission to go do something with our compassion, a commission to go and do something. See, I believe that Jesus is calling this church to see the crowd, to see the culture, to see the world scattered, harassed, and helpless. And the reality is that if you're here today, all of us have been at a place of pain. All of us have had some hurt in our lives. And the key is, what do we do with that pain? So this next point I want you to get, let your pain inspire your purpose from here to everywhere. Let your pain inspire your purpose. God wants to use the pain that you're in the midst of or the pain you've gone through in your life to inspire your purpose. Now, just recently I had a great trip out to Wyoming and was able to go with a friend of mine to go hunting in Wyoming. And I experienced some pain out there because I went 52 miles on a horseback, right? So 52 miles on a horse. And so it was when you got in touch with reality and life, when you're riding in that part of the world where you're just at the base of Yellowstone or actually we were riding about 10,000 feet. And when I was with my friend Brian and we'd go around and get ready to go around a curve, he'd say, now make sure you ride light in your left stirrup on this curve. I'm going, okay. He says, because last year we lost two horses on this curve right here. I'm going, why am I doing this, you know? And so you see me going around this curve, I'd be leaning like this on the horse, you know, because I look to my left and the sheer 500-foot drop down to certain death if I go left. And I ask him, actually, I said, are we going to practice this or anywhere? I mean, like, do you practice falling off the horse to the right? And it'll come to you. Just ride light in your right stirrup, and when the horse goes left, you go right. Okay, anyway, so all that to say, I'm out there having a great time, a little bit of pain going on, discomfort. And Brian asked me this question. He says, have you ever seen that movie, I Can Only Imagine? I said, no, I've heard about it, I've read about it, but I've never seen it. He says, you need to watch that sometime. It's a powerful movie. So I had this great trip. I'm now a cowboy, so I'm getting on the plane in Denver. I got my cowboy hat on, I'm feeling good. Now I can wear that with pride. I got my jeans on, got my boots on, I'm on the plane. The guy next to me's been hunting in Colorado. He's got his jeans on, cowboy hat. You know, I'm cowboying here, right? And so I look on the movie list, and sure enough, there's the movie I Can Only Imagine. It wasn't on the list going out there because I looked, but it's on the list going back. So here I'm going to watch the movie I Can Only Imagine. So, you know, take my cowboy hat off, put my headphones on. And I just got to confess to you, I am not a very overly emotional person in that I don't cry very easily. You know, it bothers me. I'm not proud of that. I would like to cry more. Pastor Faye's doing a great funeral sermon and she's over there weeping. I got nothing. You know, I'm just, you know, I feel it in my heart, but I'm not crying, you know? And so I'm sitting there and I've got my, you know, cowboyed up and everything, and I'm going to watch this movie. And as soon as I starts playing, I feel this emotion inside of me. Like my eyes get watery. I'm going, what's going on? You know, I'm a cowboy, you know? I mean, I can't cry now, you know, of all times I can't cry now. And I start watching the movie. And as I watch the movie, I can only imagine the story of Bart Miller and his childhood and his pain growing up, I realize he's telling my story. And I'm sitting there wiping my eyes, and the cowboy next to me is looking at me going, you're killing us here, you know? And so the more I watch the movie, the more I'm moved by the pain of Bart Miller's life. How his mom left him because of a dysfunctional marriage. Now, he didn't have a mom growing up. My mom left when I was 5, and how he had a difficult relationship with his dad. And there were times when I had a difficult relationship with my dad. And my dad later became a Christian, and Bart Miller's dad later became a believer. And there's a lot of similarities. And this quote really jumped out at me because Bart Miller with Mercy Me, who I think is the best Christian band out there, do amazing music. They couldn't get a recording contract signed. They weren't good enough, which is mind-boggling to me, right? And they just could never get anyone to sign them and produce an album for them. And his manager said this to him. He said, Bart, there's something going on in your life that you never got in touch with. There's something that's happened to you need to get in touch with. And he said this. He said, let whatever that is, let that pain become your inspiration, and then you'll have something people can believe in. And boy, that hit me right between the eyes. Jeff, let that pain that you've experienced be an inspiration, and then people will have something they can believe in. You see, I believe that one of the reasons that people are turned off to the church and turned off maybe to Christians is because they don't believe that we're real, that we try to hide our pain, we try to hide our problems, and we act like we don't have any problems and we don't have any pain, but in reality, we got all kinds of problems and we got all kinds of pain, and the world wants to know that Christ is real and that Christ meets us in our pain. You see, pain doesn't need to defeat us. God often uses our pain as a launching pad for our greatest calling. I read a quote this morning from Mark Batterson. I tweaked it a little bit, but basically, here's the quote for you. Stop letting pain get between you and God, and let God get between you and your pain. And that's exactly what God did on the plane for me. He got in the middle of my pain, and I didn't hide it. I just addressed it and got more in touch with it again. You know, Jesus said to Paul in 2 Corinthians, my power, Paul, is made perfect in your weakness. Again, I'll modify that and say, God's power is made perfect in our pain. And so we need to let pain inspire our purpose, but also to follow the example of Christ and let their pain, the pain of people, fuel your compassion from here to there. See, Jesus was moved with compassion for people, and he experienced enormous pain on the cross for us. But it wasn't just the pain he experienced, but he was moved with compassion for people inside and outside of the synagogue. He left and went to their towns and their villages. And I believe that one of the things that has made this church great, I believe it's a great church, God's doing great things here, is because we've been willing to take the message from inside these walls to outside these walls, from here to everywhere, that our mission is for the whole world, not just Lexington, not just the Midlands, not just South Carolina. Oswald Chambers said it this way, the church ceases to be a spiritual society when it is only on the lookout for the development of its own organization, trying to take care of our needs first. This church has always been more concerned about the needs of others more than we're concerned about the needs of ourselves. And God continues to bless this church in amazing ways. See, compassion is to be moved to action. Take some action, get involved. I love the story of Robert Pierce. In 1947, he was serving in a movement called Youth for Christ. He felt called as a young evangelist to go to China, but he only had enough money to get to Honolulu. And when he was in Honolulu, he met this teacher, and she introduced him to a battered and abandoned child named White Jade. And this teacher was unable to care for this child, so she asked this young evangelist, what are you going to do about her? God moved in his heart, and he gave the woman his last $5 and promised to send the same amount each month to help her care for this child. Now, Robert Pierce eventually made it to China. In over a four-month preaching mission, thousands of people made a commitment to Jesus Christ. But while he was there, he saw a lot of pain. He saw a lot of hunger, and he felt intense compassion for the people of China. He took pictures everywhere he went, but soon China was closed to Christianity. And so Pierce took all of these pictures. He took some old movies of the audiences that he saw and carried them all over North America. And he begged Christians in North America to adopt one of these children. And his personal mission, his personal pain, led to a ministry that we know as World Vision. So he started this ministry called World Vision because he was moved by the pain of people. Now, what's surprising to me about that story, in 1967, he resigned from World Vision. And in 1970, on another mission trip to an island in Korea, off of Korea, he wrote these words in his Bible, let my heart be broken by the things that break the heart of God. He then founded a new organization called Samaritan's Purse. One man, moved by pain, started World Vision, and later God used him to start Samaritan's Purse, which is the ministry that we partner with on Operation Christmas Child. What, almost 900 boxes that you put together for children from here to everywhere. Jesus said for us to go and do the same thing. 2 weeks ago, I preached this message over in the sanctuary, and we got to hear Denise Hudson share her story about serving in the Bridge 1010 ministry, children that are right here with needs. And one of the things that Denise shared in her story was that what moved her was her pain, remembering her pain from childhood when she struggled with a learning disability. And God used that pain to get her involved in the Bridge 1010 program. Many of our ministries today are staffed and volunteered by people who've been moved by pain. I want you to watch this video testimony of a guy named Russ Arendt, who was moved by God to get involved in a ministry called ERT, Emergency Response Training. Watch this.
I'm a kind of an ordinary guy. I'm a local guy right here from Lexington, and I'm the owner and operator of a little landscaping business. And
you haven't been doing that for long, right?
No, about a year and a half. I work by myself, so it's small time, but that's kind of the way I like it. It's simple.
And how did that come about?
Just a little bit of back history. I've got a master's degree in hospital administration, and I was a healthcare administrator at a local hospital here, and I was the sole provider for my family. My wife didn't have a paying job outside the home. Of course, she works inside the home. Yep. But here I was the sole provider, and one morning I had a great job, and at 10 a.m. that morning, all of a sudden it was gone. I remember driving home from work, and I told Lorai, I said, well, I'm coming home. And she was like, why are you coming home? It was like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, man.
I said, well, I just lost my job. Oof. I was scared, but honestly, Nick, it was only a few brief seconds. I've never felt this sense of calm and gratefulness in the middle of something so chaotic. It just kind of having that resolve gave me the ability or the courage to step out and take a risk. Really what motivates me on a daily basis is that I really want to use my business as my pulpit. I mean, aside from taking care of someone's lawn and helping them see the joy and the beauty of God's creation, I really want to help them accomplish something that they couldn't on their own without the guesswork and the hassles. And if I do things right, maybe I can actually be the light of Christ in their life and influence them in positive ways. Basically, the landscaping is just my vehicle to kind of get me to their door.
You can do a ministry anywhere, right? You can do be part of God's mission anywhere. So
there's
been another development kind of happening too, though, in your life alongside of that. You've gotten involved in the ERT. So what does the early response team do?
In general, after some type of natural disaster or storm, like a hurricane, of course you have the first responders that come in and take care of people. But then after the first responders kind of do their job, then people like us, volunteers, can kind of come on the scene and walk beside people and not only help them, you know, maybe reclaim their home or get back to some type of normal life in their house, but just show them some love and some compassion. And at the end of the day, I know I don't want people to feel like they're alone.
Right.
That's what motivates me a lot.
So South Carolina has been hit pretty hard with some natural disasters, right? How many trips have you been on?
A total of four, I believe now.
So why'd you go on the first one?
Well, the first one was sounded like a fun chance to use a chainsaw. that naturally drew me in.
So the first time you went, I mean, who asked you? Was it just an opportunity came along, or?
I think it was something that was announced in one of the services, or maybe it was in a bulletin, and that caught my eye.
Why do you keep going back? How's it impacting you?
I think everybody wants to make a difference. And even on a small scale, I feel like it genuinely makes a difference. You know, it's only a day or so out of my schedule, a little bit of hard work, a chance to get dirty and nasty, but to them, it, you know, at least somebody showed up. You know, they weren't suffering alone. Somebody came to kind of rescue them, and hopefully they'll see the light of Christ in us, and they'll experience that kindness and that compassion, and they'll feel the presence of God too.
So what would you say to somebody who's who's maybe sitting there looking for something, you know, to give themselves to get involved in, and they're sort of waiting for something to come along? What would you say to them?
I'd say don't sit there and wait around. You know, I think we're given the ability to act and to move. And chances are we might move on the wrong thing to begin with. Well, at least stick your foot out and give it a shot. You don't have a lot to lose. Mm-hmm. I know there are other forms of ministry that I like to do here as well, and I enjoy them now, but when I started, I didn't know if I would or not. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you got to show up.
Yeah, I like that. Say that again.
At the end of the day, you got to show up.
You got to show up. Here's the most important question, though. Did you get to use a chainsaw a lot when you went?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Definitely a lot.
I think I'll have to join you in one of those for sure. That'd be fun.
That was a good time.
And God's people said, amen. Can we give a hand to those ERT people that do great work? I believe we have over 70 now who are trained to go and show up. Just ordinary people who are praying for the courage and have the compassion to go make a difference. In 1998, Molly and George Green were ordinary people operating an environmental engineering company in Charleston, South Carolina. When Hurricane Mitch hit Honduras, a lot of devastation, and they were invited there to try to help solve some of the water problems. When they arrived at the village, the river there was the color of chocolate milk because of the toxins and the bacteria. The residents called it the river of death because no one survived when they drank from the river. So they built this water treatment system that became operational, but the village people refused to drink from the river, whether it was clear or not. So Molly and George placed their own lips on the hose and drank the first water from the river. With that action, the villagers then drank deep. And since that time, Water Mission International is providing safe water access for 3 million people in 52 countries. See, we all can make a difference in different ways in different places. One of my favorite ministers on the planet is Christine Kane. And her great ministry, A21, which is, its mission is to abolish human trafficking everywhere forever. And she says this, difficult we can do, impossible just takes a little longer. Difficult we can do, impossible may take a little longer. I want to give you some practical steps of how you can just show up. So here they come real quickly. Number one is stay soft. Don't become hardened to the reality that there are billions of people who need help today in our world that are suffering or who don't have a relationship with Jesus. Number two is start with people around you. Be present with the people right around you from here to everywhere. And pray for more workers. And when you start with people here, pray for more workers. You know, Prashant shared with you a few weeks ago that in India, there are 1 billion non-Christians. There is 5.1 billion non-Christians worldwide. There's opportunities for us to reach people. So start with people right here. Number three, see people as Jesus sees them, that every person is created in the image of God. Every person is loved by God, and every person needs a personal relationship with Jesus. Number four, sign up and join what God is already doing. God is already doing some great things. He doesn't expect you to go and solve all the problems of the world, but he does expect you to join him in what he's already doing to solve the problems of the world. Sign up. Number five, set aside some time to care. Make time to care. 1 hour to tutor, 1 hour to listen, 1 hour to learn about suffering, 1 day in Conway on an ERT trip, 1 week on a mission trip. And then number six is share your pain. Share your pain from here to everywhere. You know, some of you purchased a coat for children who may be cold this winter right here in Lexington. Others of you filled up a Christmas child box for children everywhere. Some of you serve as a volunteer in Bridge 1010 right here. Others of you have adopted a child through Compassion International everywhere. Some of you are involved in the Circles ministry to eliminate poverty right here in the Midlands. Others of you have signed up for a short-term mission trip or have gone on a mission trip somewhere. See, my friends, the reality is we're in the midst of great opportunity. Great opportunity. Did you know that on the planet Mars, there's a valley called the Valley of Perseverance? And this rover that we have on Mars is named Opportunity. And Opportunity right now, since June, is stuck in the Valley of Perseverance. Sounds like something right out of the book of Isaiah, right? But the Mars rover is stuck in the Valley of Perseverance because there was a great dust storm that blew through the valley, and it covered the solar panels on the Mars rover Opportunity. So it can't get any power to do its mission. And the only hope that NASA has is another wind will blow through the valley and blow the dust off of the solar panels so that Opportunity can fulfill its mission in the Valley of Perseverance. I can just go home now, right? See, the reality is, friends, you and I have a tremendous opportunity. But sometimes we get stuck in the Valley of Perseverance. And today, God wants to blow through here with the power of the Holy Spirit and to move us to action, to empower us to go and change the world. One person, one child, one family at a time. So we're going to move into a time of prayer. We didn't have our pastoral prayer in the middle of the service, so we're going to have it right now. And it's a chance for you to get them to come and pray down front here. I'd love to see this whole front full here with people coming to pray for opportunities, to pray for people who are hurting right now in this room, to pray that God would touch that person here this morning, to pray that God would raise up more workers to go out and meet the needs of hurting people here and everywhere, to pray for ministries that are needing more workers in order to complete more work, to pray for the concerns of the congregation. So we're just going to have an open time of prayer. I'm going to pray in just a few moments, but let's fill the front up here and pray for opportunity. Let's pray for God's Spirit to move in this place. You can make your seat an altar as well. Let's go into a time of prayer and pray for compassion. Pray for some action and pray that people would just show up where there are needs right now. If you want someone to pray with you this morning, you're hurting, you feel bruised, we got prayer ushers over the prayer room to my right, your left. You can go there and someone will pray with you. There are hurting people right here in Lexington. There are hurting people all over South Carolina. There are hurting people in Conway and other places where storms have hit. There's hurting people all over the world. Jesus was moved by compassion and took some action. Ask him to help you to be moved with compassion. Father God, I thank you that you're here with us right now in this moment. I thank you that you so loved the world that you gave your son and that Jesus came and ministered to the hurting, to the scattered, to the cast down. He was moved with compassion and took action, ultimately going to a cross and dying there for the sins of the world, to wash away our sins, to give us victory over sin in our life. Father God, to bring us into a relationship with you so that we could go and change the world. So Father, I pray for that person here right now this morning that's hurting. And you know their pain. You know the situation. You know the circumstances. Something that someone has done to them, something they've done to someone else. Someone is here this morning suffering, battling a disease. Lord, we pray for you to move in their life. We pray to you to bring help for those who are hurting. There are those here this morning on this Thanksgiving weekend that are missing a loved one who's gone to be with you, and we pray you would comfort them. Father, I pray you would bless those almost 900 boxes that are going everywhere to children all over the world. That when they open those boxes, that their life will be changed, and they'll realize that you love them, and there are people here in Lexington, South Carolina that love them too. Lord, I pray for the children involved in the Bridge 1010 program. I pray for the families involved in Circles. I pray for the families we've not yet reached. I pray for the ministries that have not yet started that will make a difference for those who are hurting, those who need to know your love, need to know your grace, need to know your mercy. Lord, I thank you for all the volunteers in this church that are out there serving. Lord, help those volunteers not to get discouraged, not to get tired, not to get weary, but to be strengthened right now in this moment. So, Father, hear our prayers this morning on behalf of all these people, all these situations. And help us as a church to always be a prayer-driven church. Lord, and teach us how to pray again the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.